Hello and welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. It's Travis. I want to just jump out and say that the Senate proposal for student loan reform has been dropped, and it is very, very bad for six-figure student loan borrowers. It is extremely bad for some and only moderately bad for others, and extremely good for any company that wants to finance higher education in the future. So let me explain what I mean by that. If you are somebody who is already on an IDR plan, you're on pay, you're on save forbearance, you're on IBR or new IBR, you're going to be moved, if this bill passes, which is still an if, this is the Senate version. But the reason why this is so freaking shocking is because the Senate version is even worse than the House's version. I was expecting it to be more moderate. It is not. So anyways, if you're on save forbearance or new IBR, old IBR, they would move you over the course of about 9 months, if this bill were to pass, into old IBR. The good news is everybody knows what old IBR is. Old IBR, 15% of your income with the 150% of the poverty line is a deduction. They would take off the partial financial hardship so that anybody who's kind of close to PSLF who couldn't qualify otherwise would still be able to do it. That's old IBR. That would mean that anybody who's got a debt-to-income ratio over 2-to-1 should still go and do that. Should still go and do forgiveness, basically, under the old IBR plan. Now, the Senate version is worse than the House version because the RAP plan in the House says 10% of income for 30 years, and you can file separately, whereas the House version says you can file separately. The Senate version says you must file jointly, at least that's what it looks like, because they omitted anything about filing separate. And the RAP plan for the Senate would apply also to people who took out loans at any point after 2026. So for example, you're a first-year dental student at NYU, you've just completed your first year, you're doing your second year, you're going to borrow your, you know, 150 grand you need to borrow, and then you need to borrow for your third year starting in the fall of 2026. Well, you have to be enrolled under the same IBR plan for all of your loans, and so you would become, if this bill were to pass, forced into the RAP plan, and you would have to pay 10% of your income for 30 years, and you would not be able to file taxes separately to exclude your spouse's income. So what that would do is create a massive incentive to not get married for professionals that are in school. What a terrible idea, because you're going to put people in a ton of debt, but also not allow them any options to pay it back based on how big the debt is, which is actually the second point I want to get into, which is Parent PLUS borrowers. Those people get punched in the face and flushed down the well in this bill. And let me explain what I mean, what they want to do. Now, first of all, before I create any panic, let me say people who've worked with us that have done double consolidation, that have gotten on to save or pay or something like that, would be automatically moved into the old IBR plan. That is way, way better than ICR by leaps and bounds. So in some ways, you could say the double consolidation, even though it's going away and getting axed, it works in many ways because you're getting onto old IBR if you followed our advice. But people who are not on an income-driven plan or ICR plan yet, that have Parent PLUS loans, let's say you've completed the first step of the double consolidation, you've got two consolidated loans, but you're waiting on a final application to process or something, this bill basically says you would be screwed for all eternity and not be able to get onto anything income-driven, that is. So your choice, let's say you've got $300,000 in Parent PLUS loans, or let's say you have $300,000, $150,000 in one consolidation, $150,000 in another, you would not be able to pay on anything other than, you know, $3,000 a month, or you'd default. Well, what if you have 60 grand of income? Are they even thinking about this? Is the Senate GOP even aware of this? I know this is a big bill and they probably didn't think about it, but this would wreck people. We're talking hundreds of thousands of people, because most people don't follow our Student Loan Planner podcast that have six figures of loans. Believe it or not, it's a subset of people that follow it. A lot of people just sort of tune out and just hope that they don't have to pay, right? Or forbearance, like whatever strategy they're just coming up with. And those people, if you don't consolidate before this bill passes, that's the crazy thing in the language of the bill, you'd have to have already consolidated and be enrolled in ICR or IBR or an IDR plan by the time the bill passes. Well, that could be like 3 weeks from now. So you can see why I am just speechless about this for Parent PLUS borrowers that have not completed the double consolidation process. So if you're a Parent PLUS borrower listening to this or know someone who is, what I would just say is go apply for ICR immediately if you've already consolidated. If you've not consolidated and you have Parent PLUS loans, just go to studentaid.gov immediately and consolidate. There's a link, studentloanplanner.com/consolidate, that should redirect you to the consolidation page. at the federal site, consolidate, and then get enrolled in ICR if you want to try to do it yourself and navigate it yourself. But I would really honestly suggest that absolutely any Parent Plus borrower right now needs to do a consult immediately. And I'm not trying to be alarmist. I'm just trying to tell you the honest truth of what I would do if I had a mom with $300,000 of Parent Plus loans. I would want her to talk to a group that has deep expertise with CFPs that have done this for a lot of years, because the stakes are huge. Because for Parent Plus borrowers, if this bill were to pass, you would could be stuck paying, well, really, maybe even never, in some cases, never even being able to retire. Versus if you figured out a plan before this bill passes and act on it, you might be able to still retire. And I can't guarantee anything, but some of the people I'm talking to are kind of wondering, well, could this create a class for a class action of some kind? You know, if people have applied for IDR and hasn't processed and the bill passes and those people are shut out of IDR, could this be a legal basis to challenge the bill? So, you know, we're just going to have to wait and see, but don't wait around. If you're a Parent Plus borrower, please go to studentloanplanner.com/book and get onto our calendar as fast as you possibly can. And I'm not exaggerating. If you're an SLP Wealth client with Parent Plus loans, send an email to your financial planner, but they're going to tell you this. If you followed our advice and you're on an IDR plan, you're good. You don't have to worry. If you have listened to our advice and not followed it, or you're waiting on them to process what we have recommended to you, then I would just say, throw it all out the window, go apply for ICR, because you probably have already consolidated at least once if you've talked to us. But if you're just listening to this like scared as a Parent Plus borrower, please go book a consult. I'm not exaggerating. studentloanplanner.com/book. Now for non-Parent Plus borrowers, let's say you are in school or know someone who is currently in school. This has major implications for how you plan the rest of your financing of your degree. Because if it were to pass, anything after July 2026 could be literally a toxic loan, because it could cause your prior to 2026 stuff to get stuck with something like the RAP plan. Luckily, that's not here yet. Don't worry about tomorrow, because today has enough troubles of its own. I think that's a really good bit of advice from scripture, actually. It helps me with my anxiety quite a bit. So when I'm worried, I think about that advice. You know, worry about tomorrow, for today has enough trouble of its own. So what that means for a borrower that's enrolled in school is, take out all the loans you possibly can. At least it'll be eligible for IBR up until July 2026. We feel very confident about that based on what's in the Senate and the House version. But before you take any loans after July 2026, you need to be really careful with what the rest of your plan is for financing your degree. Because I predict there will be private loan companies that will descend onto these graduate schools to try to finance as much as they possibly can. The alternative would be a lot of these students would have to drop out. So in some ways, that's good that somebody would be doing that, because otherwise the alternative is you're stuck with a ton of loans and no degree, which would be worse. But that could be the future here in not so distant future. One redeeming quality before people, again, also panic, is like at some point in the next 10 to 20 years, there'll probably be unified Democratic control of Congress, especially if there's a recession in the next few years that voters blame Republicans for. And if that were to happen, you would see pretty much all these changes reversed and you probably have the SAVE plan codified into law. So that's why you kind of have to know what would happen still with the SAVE plan if, you know, if something changed politically, as well as knowing what's happening with this current bill that's being debated that will probably pass. Because ultimately, when you get this far down a budget reconciliation bill and that you've just won an election, you know, you're going to push the limits in terms of passing something, because you know voters are going to punish you anyway. So you might as well deliver for your voters on what you promised you were going to do. And, you know, I know a lot of people were sort of calling out different things that Republicans were planning to do. And kind of, to be honest, I was one of those people that thought, well, I don't really believe everything that's in this Project 2025 kind of stuff that they're doing. But I guess they're really doing what they said they were going to do, which if you're a voter that voted for them, you know, they are doing what they said they're going to do. So anyways, in terms of what comes next for borrowers, if you are an existing borrower, let me talk to you for a second. If you're an existing borrower that doesn't have Parent Plus loans, I've already called out Parent Plus loan borrowers. What you need to do is schedule a freaking consult with us as fast as possible, not exaggerating. studentloanplanner.com/book. Now, for people who are not Parent Plus borrowers, who needs to do something right now? If I was a borrower, I would want to know, what's the old IBR plan? What does the RAP plan look like if I'm filing jointly? Which of the two looks better? How bad do both of them look in case I get stuck on one of them, like in terms of what does that mean for my monthly budget so that I can plan for it? And what do I need to know about my tax planning, my contributions to retirement that are going on this year that I could still adjust to be higher to lower my AGI if some of these changes happen. There's still a whole lot that you can do if you're an existing borrower, and especially a new borrower that's recently finished a program, to understand what are the risks of, you know, waiting around on a consolidation or not consolidating, or when to apply for IDR, because the grace period when you graduate, it's usually 6 months. And so a lot of new grads right now are entering into their grace period. And all they know is student loans have been a freaking chaotic mess for like years. I know that our team can still deliver a lot of value for people in this chaos, because we're the only ones, or not the only ones, but we're one of the very few groups that is highly credentialed and has been around through all of it. You know, Obama administration, repay, pay, that kind of stuff. Then first Trump administration saying they're going to repeal a bunch of stuff and then not doing it and changing little except starting the student loan interest pause. And then Biden administration just absolutely throwing it all at the wall, going for gold, so to speak, and how much they could help borrowers pay less, to second Trump administration absolutely pendulum swing super hard in the other direction, which means the pendulum will inevitably swing super hard back in the same direction that President Biden brought the Democratic Party, I think, at some point. And so borrowers need to just be as calm as they possibly can during this time. We will tell you when you need to take action. So for example, notice on this podcast today, I said Parent Plus borrowers, book immediately. People in school, book when you are thinking about how to finance your education, because we can still help you probably way more than any like program-specific office might be able to help you. And people with existing loans, we can still help you get a lot of clarity, but it's not quite as urgent at this point as it is for Parent Plus borrowers. Anyways, studentloanplanner.com/book. Thank you for listening to the Student Loan Planner podcast. I'm Travis, and we will have a lot more for you in the next few weeks as this bill gets to the finish line. Are you on the free Student Loan Planner email list? If yes, you can upgrade your experience and discover student loan loopholes so good, they might get repealed if I talk about them publicly. Find out my very best thought leadership that I really just can't be super open about anymore, unfortunately. If you want to get our very best tips, not just the ones that I can share for free, go to studentloanplanner.com/insider to get a special discount for your year membership. That's studentloanplanner.com/insider and get our very best dozens of bonus content and tips that's going to save you money and get you out of student debt faster. And if you're already an SLP insider, please reply back to those emails and let me know how I can make it even more valuable.